Each year, agency leaders scan that list of best places to work in the federal government with either anticipation or anxiety. If you're at the top, you've got a great selling point for employees and recruits, and you can kind of pat yourself on the back. But if you're at the bottom, you've got some hard work to do. Federal News Radio's Emily Kopp was at the awards ceremony to speak with those who know what it's like to be up and down. First, she spoke with Jerry Buchholz, the chief human capital officer at the number one large agency to work for, NASA.
Of course, it's always fun to win awards and prizes, and no one loves a shiny plaque more than me. But I have to say, we really don't attempt to win the award. We work on issues that are important to our agency, that are important to our workforce. We have three particular issues I identified: connecting people to the bigger NASA mission, building model supervisors, and recognizing and rewarding innovative performance. And if through our ongoing persistent day-to-day efforts on working on those three issues, we end up at the top of the list, that's great. If another federal agency were to overtake us, I would be abundantly happy for them as well.
We also heard at this presentation about troubles employees feel about their senior leaders, some doubts that they are beginning to have. At NASA, do you believe that you're immune to it, given your high standing and several of the center's high standing as well?
No, not at all. And I think that this is something that our senior leadership takes very, very seriously. They have a great deal of respect for our workforce. Our administrator, Charlie Bolden, is a very warm and personable person. He spends a lot of time talking to the workforce. And our senior leadership team overall really has a deep respect for our workforce and really cares about their well-being very much. So I wouldn't say that we are immune by any stretch of the imagination, but what I would say is that our leaders engage in personal and professional self-reflection on a regular basis, and I think that shows in the rankings.
And NASA is pretty decentralized. When it comes to focusing on employee engagement, how does it work between headquarters and the different centers?
So we have overarching goals, the three that I mentioned. And what we do is we have a division of labor between those human capital activities and HR operations. So a lot of what goes on at the center involves HR operations and the more traditional HR functions. We ask every center to do work in these three areas as well. And we have regular sharing of best practices among our centers. And then centers also identify specific workforce issues that they want to work on and develop a plan to do that.
What do you want the centers and what do you want as NASA to work on in the next year to make sure you stay at the top?
Top of my priority list is building model supervisors, people who believe that the development of innovative employees is a productive and valuable use of their time, and people who accept the responsibility and accountability of creating a working environment in which people can thrive.
How do you expect to do that, or is it a little bit different in each situation?
I would say a combination of the two. One of the things that we've developed is a new supervisory leadership development program we call LASER because, you know, we love acronyms at our agency, especially space and science, and that's leveraging agency supervisory excellence and resilience. And this is a different kind of first-line supervisory program. Usually supervisory training focuses on the nuts and bolts of performance management, time and attendance, et cetera. This is much more of self-reflection, workplace environment, engaging people throughout your entire organization, building relationships type training. We're sending our first cohort through. Another thing that's really interesting about this program is that every participant is expected to take what they learn back to their center and share it with their supervisory colleagues. And it is our intention to infuse the spirit of LASER throughout the organization to such a degree that within 5 years we will have accomplished what we want to accomplish and we can shut the program down.
It sounds like self-reflection. Might there be meditation classes or something like
that?
You
know what? That is not beyond the realm of possibility. That's very much, work-life balance is also incredibly important to being a resilient leader.
One of the grumblings you hear from people who don't work at NASA is, it's NASA. You know, kids dream of being astronauts or rocket engineers, and then they're so excited when they get to NASA. Of course, it's going to be the number one agency, according to the employees. Well, are there things that you think you can share about your experience with other agencies who don't have as great ratings, or would you agree that you guys are pretty unique?
I agree that we are unique and we have some big advantages, and it's true that even small children love rockets, rocket ships and dinosaurs, and we actually do have a NASA dinosaur. But I will also say that to the relevant population of people, every organization has that inspirational mission. And while it's true no fifth grader woke up and said, I want to be a contract specialist this morning, if you think about your mission and the commitment, I mean, we heard today that nearly 90% of the federal workforce is committed to the work that they do. There are things about your organization that they value, that make them feel special, that make them feel like they're making a contribution to the American people. And if you shine a spotlight on those things that your organization values, you'll get the same kind of payoff from your mission that we get from ours. It does help to have major motion pictures about your agency. I love it that that happens. That's the best recruitment video I could have.
Do you have any tips for others about how they might want to score one of those?
No. I think that just really focusing on your mission, telling a good story, making sure that every one of your employees has an elevator speech and can talk about why your agency is important and be ready to do that every day is the best thing that you can do to spread the word.
That's NASA Chief Human Capital Officer Jerry Buchholz talking over the din from the kitchen at the Best Places to Work award ceremony. Now, if you're thinking that she is living the easy life at the number one agency, here's a tale from the bottom of the barrel. At least that was true a year ago. The Economic Development Administration was dead last of more than 300 government centers and divisions. This year, it rose 4 spots and nearly 12 points on the ranking's 100-point scale to be named Most Improved. After the award ceremony, I caught up with the agency's new leader, Jay Williams, who knows a thing or two about struggling organizations. It's helpful to note, when he talks about the EVS, he's referring to the government-wide Employee Viewpoint Survey, the basis for the rankings.
I joined the agency 6 months ago, and even prior to that, there were things that were put in place to really focus on, not focusing or obsessing over the EVS in and of itself is an important tool, but things such as communication, things such as making sure that the employees felt empowered, making sure that they were had the tools that they needed to do their jobs well. So by focusing on those small but important things, I think it, and the employees also told us they didn't want to get caught up in the survey itself. They wanted us just to focus on those things that we talked about. So this has been an ongoing priority and will continue to be a priority, and we see it again as a process of continuous improvement. So the fact that it is reflected over the course of this past year is certainly something that we're appreciative of, but it's also an ongoing journey that we think we're going to see significant progress in the coming years.
How many employees do you have?
We have just under 200 employees throughout the organization. We have headquarters, and then we have 6 regions, and 2/3 of the employees are out in our regional offices.
Do you feel like you know everybody?
I do. It's a family organization. It's a relatively small federal organization, and even with the 6 offices out across the country, I have gotten an opportunity to travel to each of those offices multiple times. So I do feel like that I've gotten to know the employees in a way that is, while I've only been there 6 months, it really feels like longer just because of the relationship we've been able to establish and continue to build between and amongst the employees.
Tell me a little bit about the tools or the ways that you've been able to do that.
We bring employees together often, but we were meeting oftentimes, but there still wasn't the level of communication and connectivity. So we tried to make a better use of the times that we do bring the employees together. We want to make sure that they feel very empowered. When they have suggestions or ideas of how to improve the process, we have instructed and helped to coach the managers and supervisors to be very open to that. When it comes to feedback, we want the feedback to be very constructive and very dynamic. So a lot of it is, again, simple communication, engagement, empowerment. Employees have very good ideas about processes and systems that have been inefficient or ineffective. And we've said, you know what, the people who understand best how to improve those systems are the ones who have been working on it. So for the employees to see their ideas and their input actually change the way we go about doing our business, I think has been very rewarding. And as a matter of fact, it's helped us to be a more efficient, more effective organization. So those are some of the things that we've done.
How have you coached supervisors, or how have you gotten employees to open up if because it's such a small agency, they must have already had relationships. Perhaps some of those were rather tense or people held back. How did you get them to be more forthcoming?
Part of it is to try to lead by example. I've made it very clear that, you know, my door is always open, literally and figuratively. So if an employee wants to stop by or has an idea, you know, we don't go through a lot of bureaucratic structure and say you have to go through a very difficult process. So the fact that early on I had a chance to travel across to all of our offices and just sit with the employees, with supervisors and without supervisors, and then take that feedback and actually put it towards some of the policy changes and some of the things that we've implemented. The employees saw that their ideas were being implemented, and we try to set that example for supervisors. So I, as the assistant secretary, I've always said that, you know, if I'm the smartest person in the room, there's a problem. I need and try to surround myself with very talented individuals, both in terms of management and both in terms of the employees. And when they see their talent and their input actually translating into changes in the organization, I think that also helps to open up those lines of communications and show supervisors. There's, you know, empower your employees. Don't be threatened. I mean, there is a management function and a supervisor function, but understand that the wealth of experience, the wealth of talent that we have really rests in our employees. And to the extent that we can engage them in the mission of the agency, that's very rewarding. And I think we're seeing that reflected here in the fact that all 10 of the components that are measured, we saw an increase in.
Until recently, you were the mayor of Youngstown, Ohio. I'm just wondering if there are similarities between trying to lead a town of that size, which has had its own struggles, and trying to lead this agency.
Well, there are similarities, and there was no better preparation than having been the mayor of a city like Youngstown, Ohio, that, as you pointed out earlier, is going through an economic transformation, a lot of which is attributable to investment from the Economic Development Administration. So there's a strong tie and a correlation there. But yeah, Youngstown was a city that was written off by many. It was a city that was defined for so many years by the collapse of an industry, and over the past decade is now being seen as a place to invest, a place that is really not defined by its problems, but defined by the things it's doing to pull itself out of that. So with this agency, it's a great agency that for a number of years was kind of, you know, at the bottom, and there was a lot of questions or concerns, but really it's been a collective effort. The leadership that was in place prior to me getting there, the leadership that's in place now, from the top to the bottom of the agency. So there are similarities, and I appreciate the fact of having come from Youngstown, now being a part of EDA is really, I couldn't think of a better agency to be a part of.
And you're still climbing the ranks, so what would you like to accomplish in the coming year?
We're still climbing the ranks, so we anticipate being back here next year again. I think
that's a challenge to others.
That's a challenge to others. So, you know, most improved 2 years in a row is certainly something I think that is we aspire to, but really to throughout the course of this year, we're not going to focus specifically on EVS. We're going to still focus on those core principles of employee engagement, empowerment, open lines of communication. I think by doing that, the results will speak for themselves. So I look forward to the same time, same place next year to have another conversation with you about our improvement over the course of this coming year.